day and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Nick Austin, filling in for Stephen Henderson. Juneteenth is not a new holiday in the U.S. The day has been celebrated by many Black Americans and particularly by Black Texans for generations. Originally, the day was meant to give people space to remember enslaved ancestors, celebrate the abolition of slavery, and spend time with friends and family. But while it's not new, in recent years, the holiday became federally recognized. In 2021, President Joe Biden made Juneteenth a federal holiday, and on Friday, the Michigan legislature was working on doing the same thing in our state. In today's context, Juneteenth, the portmanteau of June and 19th, inspires a lot of different ideas in people's imaginations depending on who you are. Some are excited to celebrate racial progress, while others are simply reminded of how much further we have to go when considering things like mass incarceration, poor health outcomes, and the racial wealth gap that disproportionately disadvantages African Americans in our country. And still, others think of all of these things together. What does Juneteenth mean for us in America? How are Michiganders and Detroiters celebrating the now federally recognized day? And what would this country have to do to create a place where all Americans were truly liberated and free today and in the future? Later in the program, we'll talk with a professor of Israel studies about how that country came to receive reparations from Germany after World War II. But before we get there, we want to discuss Juneteenth. And to do that, we have a number of guests to help us out. We start off now with Kevin and Kalila Wright, a husband and wife duo that started Madison Heights Citizens United, which has put on Juneteenth events in that city for the past 3 years. Kevin and Kalila Wright, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you for having us.
So you're a husband and wife duo that are working on Juneteenth in celebrations as you've had this past weekend. Can you tell me, let's start with you, Kalila, what does Juneteenth mean for you?
It means recognizing that Black Americans have contributed to history, that our past is a part of American history. And it means being able to celebrate with everybody and hoping that the country as a whole can celebrate with us.
Yeah. And for you, Kevin, I want to give you the same opportunity.
Yeah. You know, it's been a learning experience the last 3 years. I just learned about Juneteenth 2 or 3 years ago. I was never taught in school.
Oh.
But it's been a learning experience. I think it's a part of American history that we all should know. It's a part of American history that we're trying to bring to Madison Heights in the suburbs. You know, people sometimes ask why we're celebrating Juneteenth in Madison Heights. They mention, you know, we celebrate the 4th of July. And I always like to say that Juneteenth doesn't compete with the 4th of July. It completes the 4th of July because it's the day that all Americans became free. And that's really what we look to celebrate in Madison Heights and beyond.
Yeah. So was there a specific reason why you guys decided to start putting on events for the past 3 years in Madison Heights? Where did that inspiration come from?
Yeah, it really came from the death of George Floyd, to be honest with you. Following that tragic incident, I talked to my wife, who's African American, I'm white, and I said, you know, I can't stay silent anymore. I have to speak up. We have 4 beautiful children, all teenagers now, but at the time my stepson was 15. It was 6 beautiful children living with us at the time.
Right.
And he was 15, and my sons were 12 and 11 at the time. And I looked at those boys, and I saw them playing in the house and being brothers and equals. And I thought in a few years, they're not going to be equals in society, unfortunately. I said, I couldn't look myself in the mirror and let that pass after the death of George Floyd. So I put a Facebook post up. I said I was going to stand out on 13 Mile in front of City Hall in Madison Heights with an American flag and a sign that said George Floyd didn't need to die or didn't deserve to die. And I invited people to join in on that celebration. This was like a couple days out. And Khalil and I both expected it would be just the two of us, but it ended up being shared hundreds of times and a couple hundred people showed up.
Mm.
After that, the next week, we had another celebration. We didn't want to take complete ownership, so we just made a Facebook page called Madison Heights Citizens United, and I encouraged people to join that Facebook page. And again, the next week we had 400 people out there, and that was the genesis of our organization. It's now 501c3, And it's turned into a, you know, a celebration of Juneteenth as our signature event. But we've also had 25 other events in the community in the last 2 years.
You know, that's really exciting to hear about that springing up from grassroots, from a little seed was planted and you found out maybe a little more people than you thought in the area were concerned about that. And I want to bring you in on this, Kalila, because I think for some people who are listening, when they think about suburbs, they think about the history, mm-hmm. especially places like Madison Heights, they wouldn't expect there to be that much enjoyment or celebration or opportunities per se for a Juneteenth celebration. But in you doing this and getting turnout, that kind of pushes back against that narrative. What have you seen in putting on these events out in Madison Heights? Has there been support, or what could you share with people about that?
There's been support. We've had support. We've had some people that aren't support. We have sure. some people asking why. Mm. You know, why in Madison Heights? And, you know, and that's from both sides. That's from the African-American community. That's from the white community. Mm. People, for some reason, African-American expect, you know what, and because of the past,
right.
why are you going to have it in Madison Heights? Why should, as African-Americans, why should we travel to the suburbs that have treated us in a way that we don't, that historically has been?
Well, let's unpack that question. Why should African-Americans go to Madison Heights for a Juneteenth celebration? What response do you have for them?
We should be embracing and not dividing ourselves. Mm. We should be embracing. We should be and bringing other people in, other cultures, not just white people, the Indians, Arab Americans. We should all be celebrating Juneteenth. And you go to the suburbs to let people know who we are and to experience, so they can experience our culture, so we can experience their culture.
You know, I think that's really important, right? One of the ways you break down barriers when people have more interactions with folks who don't necessarily look like them helps us maybe humanize each other a little bit more,
exactly.
understanding the similarities we have. But there was the other portion of that questioning that you mentioned a little bit earlier. I guess you get from white people also,
yes.
Who are saying, why are you doing this in Madison
right.
Heights? So what response do you have to them?
Why not? Why not? I'm an African American. Why should I not be able to celebrate
right.
the holiday in June in Madison Heights? I celebrate 4th of July. We celebrate all the holidays. Why not Juneteenth?
I mean, you
see, it's another holiday.
It's where you live, Madison
it's
Heights.
It's where I live.
So you should be able to celebrate Juneteenth, a national
right.
holiday, where you live. And I understand that. And one of the things we appreciate is you bring you back in, Kevin. You saying that you have not, didn't even learn about this until you found out about it just a few years ago. Tell us a little bit about that experience, unpacking that more about what you've learned now so much that you didn't really appreciate before having learned more about Juneteenth.
Well, it was eye-opening. You know, like I said, it's a part of American history everyone should know. And it, to me, it kind of was I call myself a work in progress. It was something that I had never heard about. But once I learned about it, I didn't realize that the enslaved people were still being held 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. And I thought, you know, a lot of people say, well, why do you celebrate Juneteenth? You're revising history. But we're not really revising. We want to teach a complete history, a complete American history. So for me, it was eye-opening. And one of the things Khalil and I had talked about early on and with our group, Mass Heights Citizens United, was that it's tough sometimes for people to step outside their own box and realize that other people have had different experiences. And to me, that's been part of my personal journey is to, you know, I'm 60 years old. I grew up in Madison Heights. I have the perspective of a six-year-old who grew up in Madison Heights. But it's been an interesting part, a journey to step away from that and know that other people experience things or have experienced things differently than I have.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things I think about with that is since this is something that's new to you, I'm sure maybe in the community where you grew up, then that would mean it's newer to them also. And if we're talking about Madison Heights and you guys have been putting these events on for 3 years, we went into a little bit of the reception, but have you seen growth from people in your community after you've put on these events?
We have. In fact, there are people who were detractors and who were against having a Juneteenth celebration 3 years ago, who now are some of our biggest supporters. They've come to the celebrations, they've come to our events and seen what we're teaching and what we're preaching, and they've become believers. They've people who have stepped away from a stereotype they might have thought to expect from the celebration, who now embrace it. And so we have seen growth. It's been gradual, but we have seen growth.
Right, right. Speaking with, again, Kevin and Kalilo Wright, a husband and wife duo that started the Madison Heights Citizens United, which has put on Juneteenth events in the city for the past 3 years out there in Madison Heights. And so, Kalila, you've then seen this firsthand, I guess, as well. People who are learning about it and maybe were detractors before, but right. are turning to embrace it now. What do you think it was about your celebrations or about these events that caused some of these people, these folks who were a little skeptical before or just outright hostile maybe before, to change their opinion?
I think it's people coming together and actually talking. Hmm. I think our first event after the George Floyd demonstration was we gathered in a pavilion and we invited the community and we just sat and talked about the differences and how his death affected us, how living in the community affected us, and how, you know, different aspects of our cultures. And I think as people see what we're talking about, people come together and they start talking.
Yeah.
And they see it's not just a black holiday, and they come and embrace it.
That's right. That's why I think it was important for us to make it a national holiday, for something for all of us to celebrate here as a community. And speaking of you, Kalila, having these conversations with folks, are there any messages, are there any comments, are there any things that you've learned when speaking with other people who weren't so familiar that you found really effective in getting them to understand the importance of Juneteenth?
I think the biggest thing is just to talk to people. Yeah. It's just to talk and start a conversation.
Right. How about for you, Kevin?
I think we framed it as an American holiday, yeah. and I think people have responded to that. And may I just add something to what Khalil said about talking with people and changing people's perceptions? We have a good friend, and he says it's hard to hate up close. Once you get to talk to people, once you get to know people, once you sit with them and talk, it's definitely harder to have. It melts those preconceptions
yeah.
away.
Yeah. And one way, I guess, to melt them is also celebrations. What do you guys do? What do you like to do for these Juneteenth celebrations?
Well, we have a big one. We had a big one in Madison Heights. And yeah. we have, for the first year, we're having an African-American food truck rally where we're going to have 9 food trucks. Mm-hmm. We've had food trucks in the past, but not as many. We have live music. We had 4 great bands play. We have a petting zoo. We have a bounce house.
Mm, wow.
Climbing tower, courtesy of Oakland County. So it's going to be a big event. We have more than 50 vendors that are going to be out there. Yeah. 80% of them are African-American owned. So I think it's just a big celebration. It's, you know, we like to say that Juneteenth is a big holiday and it deserves a big celebration. That's what we did in Madison Heights.
And one of the things that we appreciate about this is, again, having more local communities be able to celebrate this, bringing Juneteenth to areas that might not celebrate it as much. And I'm sure there are people who are listening right now who may be getting inspired by this and thinking about bringing it to their community. So, Kalila, do you have any recommendations for folks who are listening on how they can start a celebration like this in their areas?
I'd say just try to meet with people and try to get a team together to start putting it on. Even if it's something small, just a discussion or just gathering together and just getting together to celebrate.
Right. Anything to supplement there, Kevin?
I would say, and I don't want to be negative, but I'd say expect pushback at the beginning.
Right.
But push through it. We did through ours, and now we have a community that has embraced the celebration. So I would say just push through, but keep focused in what you believe in and push through.
All right. No, I mean, that is the important, right? Anything that is really important for us, it is. Sometimes there might be some pushback, but it's very important for us to be working on things like that. And one of the things that we think about on this day, liberation and freedom, a lot of folks are thinking about what does that really look like for African Americans, as even though we've gone through Juneteenth, there's still a lot of struggles out there. Kalila, I see the response. I can understand it. Maybe someone might say, what are you talking about? Everything's fine now. They don't understand the perspective. For folks who maybe don't quite understand the perspective, for you, what does freedom look like, true freedom for us?
I think true freedom is being able to go somewhere and not think about the color of my skin.
Yeah.
Not be aware when you walk into a room that, you know what, if it's a room full of white people, how am I going to be treated? Do I need to be on guard to figure out who actually I'm dealing with and what their intentions are and who they are. I think that that's true freedom.
Yeah, that's a perspective that I think a lot of people don't understand, especially when you're African-American, when you've been living out here, especially in a lot of places where you walk to. The acute awareness of who you are and how you fit into the surrounding areas, not an experience everybody has. I mean, Kevin, I don't know if that's something that you have a similar experience with, but you've had conversations with Kalila. How have you seen that come up in your life?
I have not had that experience, and we've talked about this before. And I tell people the fact that I'm married to an African-American woman does not give me any insight on what it's like to be black in America. It gives me none. But it gives me an opportunity to talk with my wife about things that I would never have the opportunity to talk about and see perspectives I'd never seen. Again, I go back to saying stepping outside your box to know that other people have different experiences, because a lot of times we've talked about issues or something that's happened, and we see it in a different way, and I think it's not a disagreement. It's just that our perspectives are different from our upbringings.
Yeah, and you know, some of that I think is also trusting people's perspectives. I know when I have conversations like this, some people are open there to learn, listen to my perspective, even if they disagree. I get shocked sometimes by the people who will try to tell me that my experience is not actually my experience, right? I mean, we can maybe quibble a little bit about was it this bad or not or why, but you know, normally when you have emotional reactions, there's a reason for it. And if you're talking to somebody about it and they tell you their experience, if your first response is, no, you're lying, that's not actually what you felt, I would maybe say, maybe rethink about how you're taking someone in. I mean, if I'm having a conversation with you, I should trust the information that you're giving me about your experience. So I ask you about your experience, Kalila. Has you seen any change in your environment and community out there in Madison Heights since from when you began putting on these events till now?
I think I've seen some change. I've seen more awareness. Mm-hmm. I've seen more people. We actually have people looking forward to Juneteenth now.
Yeah.
And I think that's a difference. And I think it's important for people when they're talking with other people to also, like you said, to accept other people's situation and how they feel. I've had situations where I've had people coming up to me and telling me how I should feel as a black person. Mm. And that's not helping. It's not the way to have a conversation, and you need to be open and aware of where people are coming from.
Right. I want to take the discussion out a little bit broader in terms of what you guys see out there and from creating your celebrations. What's one thing that you really learned now that you've created Citizens United? And I'll start with you, especially Kevin, considering your background. What's something that you've learned that you didn't know before since being a part of this project?
Well, in a more abstract way, I've learned that people are open to learn.
Mm.
We've had a lot of people, like I said previously, who thought they were against what we were talking about, but didn't know what we were talking about. One of our mottos is reach the reachable.
Mm-hmm.
We found that there's people who say they're dead set against us, but they don't know what our events entail. And once they come to them, they become supporters.
Do you have any specific stories, either of you, when you're thinking about that, of something, of how an interaction like that happened? Because I think for many, you say reach the reachable. Some of it would be like, what does a reachable person look like, right? They could be putting up a really big facade. But maybe that is someone that you can talk to. Do you have any personal stories from that?
I do. And I think a lot of times it's not so much out of true negative feelings toward what we're talking about, is more of just not knowing,
mm-hmm.
out of ignorance. And one of the biggest stories I'll say is we have a resident who was dead set against the celebration year one. She was quite vocal about it on social media. But after coming to some of our events and talking with us, she's now one of our bigger supporters.
Mm.
And she's been someone who's helped us in the community. So I think... And there's been more stories than that, but that's one in particular.
Yeah. How do you get somebody like that, Kalila, to come to the event in the first place, right? Throwing bombs on social media is real easy. Getting up and going somewhere is harder.
Yeah, I think for some people, they come to some of the meetings just to, so they have something to go back to talk about.
Right.
And then they come and they realize, you know, this isn't what we're about. We are really out here trying to meet with people, trying to talk with people, trying to engage people. and trying to share our story and understand each other and develop develop relationships with each other.
But I think we're a ways. But we just want to continue to grow. We've really framed that it's not just a celebration for people in Madison Heights. We've invited people from all over the community. Our social media ads go to the entire Metro Detroit area, and we want people to come. If their city's having a celebration, we encourage them to go to their celebration. If it's on a different day, come to ours too. But if your city doesn't have a celebration, come to Madison Heights. We welcome you with open arms. This is a celebration for everyone.
That's fantastic. And I think that's a great place to end it on. So Kevin and Kalila Wright out of Madison Heights with Madison Heights Citizens United, thanks for joining us on Detroit Today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
When we return, our conversation continues about events happening in the area, this time in Detroit with Yolanda Jack, the manager of community engagement for the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History, as we continue our celebration of Juneteenth right here on Detroit Today. It's Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET, where I'm Nick Austin, filling in for Stephen Henderson as we've been discussing Juneteenth, starting out in the suburbs, but now we want to expand the conversation to include Detroit. And to help us do that, we have Yolanda Jack. She is the manager of community engagement for the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History, and she's here to talk about the events going on at the Charles H. Wright Museum. Yolanda. Welcome to Detroit Today.
Good morning, almost afternoon. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here with us. Now, I know that Juneteenth, we're all going to be celebrating this. What do you got going on at the Charles H. Wright Museum?
Noon will begin our event of activities for celebrating Juneteenth. We will have a great array of performances, storytelling, African drumming and dancing, other musicians coming. King Sophia will be here. The Ngoma Za Amen Ra African drum and dance troupe, Al Noor will be performing, a great storyteller and musician. So it'll just be a variety of presentations and performances for people to just come, enjoy, connect to the history, the commemoration of freedom, and the idea of the importance of that value that we have here in the United States.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of that in the United States, now that it is a federal holiday, the Charles H. Wright Museum, of course, has been doing things for Juneteenth historically for a while, but now we're coming on the first opportunities to celebrate it as a federally recognized holiday. Can you tell us how Juneteenth has changed since that recognition for you guys or what you're seeing at the Charles H. Wright Museum?
Well, for us, it really isn't that much of a change.
Sure.
We've been celebrating, as you said, for a while, and our celebrations have been varied and various. We've done a variety of different things in collaboration with the City of Detroit and other organizations in Detroit, but we've always tried to make certain that there is a way that we are connected to the celebration of Juneteenth. And since the pandemic, it's been a little different, obviously, because we've been away and virtual. But this year, we're coming back in person, and we're really excited to make certain that people recognize the fact that while the nation may be new to celebrating the significance of Juneteenth, being one of America's first holidays, first Black holiday, and it was one of those holidays that people claim for themselves, mm-hmm. the same way that people really wanted to make certain that they were understood as Americans claiming their own citizenship. At a time when, at that point, they weren't citizens, according to the 14th Amendment, at least, we hadn't seen that just yet.
Yeah, yeah. So, Go ahead.
So we really want to just dive deep into the commemoration and exploration of freedom, what it meant then in the 1800s, and how we're forwarding and deepening the meaning and the ideas of liberation today, and how we can connect to ourselves through the history, through the creation of history and the ideas of future ideas of liberation and freedom in our communities and in our cities. How do we think about that? How do we work towards that? How do we build towards that? How do we maintain and celebrate what we have? These are the things that we're doing. Yeah. And so that's not so much different, but just a continuation.
When you're looking at what you think about Juneteenth and what it represents and where we can move moving forward, what does freedom for all of us here in the African-American community look like to you, Yolanda?
Well, freedom is what it is when you feel that you have the ability to do what you want to do, how you are able to do it in the way. And no one is going to come at you for being who you are or judge you for being who you are or to make you feel belittled or second class or other than for being who you are. To me, that's a significant aspect of freedom. But it's also a self-determined thing. I'm free because I say so. And that understanding that that is a real thing, not only for Yolanda Jack, but for every person, every citizen who stakes that claim, you are free because you say so. And what does that mean? Where does that come from? How do you celebrate and appreciate that freedom when you don't feel, though, that you have opportunity to walk the streets or drive the roads or travel without some type of altercation or situation? So looking towards how we are able to claim that freedom and then make it be real, not only in my imagination or in my own small bubble, but everywhere I go as a person who is a citizen of these United States expects to do.
When people come to the Charles H. Wright Museum, they learn things a lot of the times. I'm sure sometimes they're learning stuff they didn't even know about Juneteenth or Black history generally. What are some of the questions or things that you learn or people tell you, you know what, I didn't realize this until I came through and found out about it from the presentations that you guys have been putting out there?
One of the things that is a big surprise to people, because it's a common thread that we hear repeated a lot, that the people in Galveston, Texas did not know they had been given freedom with the Emancipation Proclamation. When the Emancipation Proclamation was issued and when it became ratified, people across the U.S. knew. The problem was that there was no one to enforce the freedom that would have been theirs in Texas. There was no Union troops. There were no people to really literally defend that freedom for them. So the arrival of General Granger on June 19, 1865 was an important day because it was the day that they got their freedom backed up. This was the day that their freedom was truly enforced and made real, as opposed to, it's a freedom in theory, as it had been those previous 2 years. So that's one very big point that I think that a lot of people are surprised to hear. Oh, they did know. Yeah, people knew. Even though there wasn't Facebook, even though there wasn't Instagram and all the things that we use now, cell phones, et cetera, people got information. That information got exchanged. And Black people were in the room when the Emancipation Proclamation was signed and ratified. Black people were able to talk about it across the nation. They just didn't have a way, particularly those who had been enslaved. There was no person, there was no being, there was no entity to enforce it beyond the federal government and the Union troops. So that was the very important point of they knew they were free. They didn't have anybody to enforce it.
Things are happening at the Charles H. Wright Museum. What do you have planned moving forward that people should know about for the summer?
Our third Thursday event. So it's a regular occurring event. Every third Thursday we have music, DJ. You can come and get a drink. You can sit back and enjoy the vibes, getting ready for your new, for the weekend, perhaps. Hear some poetry and take in a panel. That's our third Thursday program that we have monthly. In addition, next month, our African World Festival event will happen on the 14th, 15th, and 16th of the month. So African World Festival will be celebrating its 40th anniversary this year. It is amazing to realize the African World Festival is 40 years old. I remember a lot of them. And so we'll be celebrating, thinking about the past, but also the future. We got some Afrofuturistic themes going on, as well as bringing in perhaps one of the Afrofuturistic men of the day or of the time for now. George Clinton will partying on Friday night. Oh my gosh, what are you doing? Where are you going to be? At Hart Plaza on Friday night to check out that amazing concert. It is a free concert if you are a member of the museum. And if you are not a member of the museum yet, you can become a member of the museum, and your tickets for the African World Festival will be taken care of as a result of your being a member.
How do people find out more about membership and what you're doing over there at the Charles H. Wright Museum?
You can find out about our programs and all of the things that we're doing at the museum at thewright.org, our website, T-H-E WRIGHT.org, theright.org. You could become a member. So yeah, you have a wonderful opportunity to learn about African-American history in Detroit and Michigan and how we connect ourselves to not only the nation, but the world.
All right. Well, we're going to have to end it there, Yolanda, but it's been a pleasure speaking with you, Yolanda Jack, here on Detroit Today, and happy Juneteenth to you.
Happy Juneteenth, Nick. Always a pleasure to talk with you. Have a great one.
When we return, we will continue our celebration of Juneteenth right here on Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET.